Hello, you are listening to The Mark Ma Show, where we are talking about Bitcoin. We're talking about cryptocurrencies. We are talking about the decentralized revolution that is happening right before our very eyes. And you know, I understand that not everybody sees the importance of what's going on. Maybe it's like the proverbial, you know, frog in the pot of boiling water. You don't notice it around you, or maybe it's like watching paint dry, but it is happening and history books will be written about this point in time. I know my grandkids are going to think back and go, man, I can't believe my granddad or my great granddad bought all that Bitcoin. It is going to be that big. And you know, we talk a lot about a lot of different things. I cover the price a little bit. I like to say that the price is a distraction, because really in a new technology, an emerging technology, we're looking for the underlying or the fundamental things that are happening that make us think that it's going to be so much bigger than it is. If you're listening to me each and every week, first off, if you're not listening to me each and every week, then you should be. And so why don't you just pull out your phone right now, put a timestamp, put a calendar appointment on this channel at this time. It'll be the most profitable part of your week. But I like to say each and every week that the price is a distraction. We want to look at two things. And so we want to look at the growth of the network, how many users are using the network. And we want to look at the development that's happening on the network. So those are kind of the two things that we want to be looking at. And as long as the network's growing, more and more users are using it, and development is happening on it, then we know that everything's still on track and that the future should be looking very, very bright. And so I like to look at those things. That tells me more about the future. I think trying to, you know, think what the price is going to be by next week or next month or even next year is very difficult. The short-term picture is very hard to predict, if not impossible. But I think the longer-term picture is easier. Right. For example, if you ate a Big Mac every single day for lunch from now until the end of the month, how much weight would you put on? For example, I mean, I don't really know, but what if you did that every day for 3 years? Right, it would probably be easier to predict that in a couple of years from now than it would be in 2 weeks. And so that kind of gives you an idea, like when you see these things happening now, it's easier to predict where they'll be in the future. And so one of the things I saw this week, which was massive, and I guess it's sweeping through the industry, is we're seeing multiple stadiums, football, basketball stadiums, being sponsored by, you know, cryptocurrency companies. We saw the Staples Center in Los Angeles renamed the Crypto.com Arena. I believe one of the big stadiums, I think in Miami, is sponsored by FTX, which is a big cryptocurrency exchange. And this week, we also saw a basketball team, the Houston Rockets, have actually partnered in a sponsorship deal that's going to pay them out in Bitcoin, which is pretty big. Now, you might have seen or heard of things like this happening before. As a matter of fact, I've talked about this. I think a few weeks ago, I talked about the quarterback Aaron Rodgers has agreed to be paid in Bitcoin. I think Tom Brady, the quarterback, is also being paid in Bitcoin. We've seen Francis Suarez. He's the mayor of Miami. He was the first one who came out and said he was going to be paid in Bitcoin. Now we've seen, four or five other mayors have come out saying they want to be paid in Bitcoin. Even the mayor, I believe it's the new mayor of New York City, said that they want to be paid in Bitcoin. And it's just spreading, right? It's just spreading and spreading and spreading, right? We want to look at the growth of the network. And it's like spreading like wildfire. I mean, one mayor said he wants to be paid, one athlete. I think the first athlete I really remember was Russell Okung. He's a football player. He was very, very outspoken in getting paid in Bitcoin as a football player. And that was probably 2 years ago. He's been super vocal, and now we're seeing athletes just left and right choosing to be paid in Bitcoin. And then you have one mayor like Francis Suarez in Miami and say Miami's going to be the Bitcoin epicenter of the country. And now five other mayors, including New York City, have come out and said that. And now New York City wants to compete with Miami to be the main Bitcoin center. And so that's the way to understand Bitcoin. You have to understand a lot of things, and that's why it's difficult for most people to get it. You have to understand a lot of things. And so some of those things are history and monetary systems and currencies and technology. But you also have to understand philosophy, like human incentives, and you have to understand game theory. And so this is the game theory, right? It's like a game of musical chairs. When the music stops, there's not going to be enough chairs for everyone to go around. And so who's going to get those chairs first? And of course, with Bitcoin, there's a hard cap. There will never be more than 21 million. Now, that might sound like a lot, but let me put that into perspective for you. There's about approximately 50 million millionaires in the world. So there's not even enough Bitcoin for all the millionaires in the world to own half of one. And we have some people like Michael Saylor who owns hundreds of thousands of them. I don't own anywhere near that many, but I definitely own some. And that means there's not even enough. There's nowhere even close for these millionaires to get half of one. That's just how scarce it is. So that the music is starting to stop and everybody's grabbing their chairs. That's what the mayors are doing. That's what these athletes are doing. We're even seeing nations do this, right? So El Salvador announced that they were going to move to using Bitcoin as a currency. And now other nations are starting to do the same thing. But back to this news that broke this week was the Houston Rockets, which I think was pretty big. And what I liked about the Houston Rockets deal is it wasn't just like a personal kind of selfish thing. So what I mean by that is, Aaron Rodgers, as I talked about, chooses to get paid in Bitcoin, I mean, that's great for him, right? It increases his Bitcoin stack. It doesn't really do much about other people and the Bitcoin space overall. But here, the NBA team, you know, the Houston Rockets, took it on, and it says that they partnered with NYDIG in a sponsorship deal paid in Bitcoin. And the team will provide Bitcoin education programs for the community and Bitcoin rewards and payment options for fans. So that's what I mean, selfish. And I don't take that word the wrong way. But what I mean is Aaron Rodgers is going to buy Bitcoin. That's great for him. But this is the team is going to provide Bitcoin education programs for the community, right? So they're going to reach out and start building education programs for the people and really blow this up. And again, remember, we're looking for two things, right? The growth of the network and the development on the network. So this is the growth of the network. They're actively building out programs to grow the network. And that's massive. Of course, we probably have plenty of sports fans listening to this, and they understand how much influence these sports fans have, or these athletes have, and these brands have. And so when they're saying, hey, you should educate yourself on Bitcoin, and then even better, they're paying Bitcoin rewards and allowing fans to pay in Bitcoin. I mean, I think that's just going to be massive. They said that Bitcoin provides a creative reward payment options for their fan base and associates. And it says the Rockets, quote, the Rockets will be # paid in Bitcoin. So I think that's massive. I think that's awesome. Deliver new opportunities, new experiences for the Rocket fans, for the city of Houston. Of course, they're Houston, Texas, which Houston has become the epicenter, literally the leader, the global leader in Bitcoin mining. The governor of Texas, Governor Abbott, has even been talking about making Bitcoin a main currency in the state. So I guess it's no surprise that the Houston Rockets are the first ones to do this. But think about the growth that this will create. Think about the buzz that this will create. And then, like I said, not just in them using it selfishly, like, hey, we're going to put part of our savings into it. But no, we're going to create programs to educate people and incentivize people to use it. That is massive. And so when I see that, that tells me that the network is going to grow. And when the network grows, the price is going to grow after that. Now, I want to talk about some other things that are really going to trigger Bitcoin's growth even faster. I'm going to show you some numbers that are going to probably blow your mind. By the way, you're listening to the Mark Moss Show. And of course, we're talking about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies and the decentralized revolution. We'll be right back. I'll tell you more about Bitcoin's skyrocket. All right, welcome back. You are listening to the Mark Moss Show, and we're talking about Bitcoin, of course, each and every week. Don't miss it. We're talking about Bitcoin. We're talking about cryptocurrencies. We're talking about the decentralized revolution. And I'm trying to give you the play-by-play each and every week so you have the information that you need to be well-equipped, to be properly equipped, to be positioned to take advantage of this, the biggest opportunity you'll ever have. And if you listen to me each and every week, I promise you, you're going to have information that most people don't have. So when you go to those parties, you're going to sound like the smartest guy there. So if there's no other reason, just so you're cool, go ahead and listen to me. But it would probably be much more profitable for you than that over the long run. Now, before the break, I was talking about I say it over and over, the price is a distraction. We want to look at the network growth and the development. And we look at the network growth, we look at the amount of people, the number of people using it. We were talking about the Houston Rockets, the basketball team, is going to start allowing people to pay in Bitcoin, provide education for their community, incentives, rewards, et cetera. And so that's just going to accelerate the adoption, accelerate the growth of the network so fast that it's just going to blow minds. But there's some other things that are going on that are going to do that even more. And one of those things is that the Bitcoin will continue to look more and more attractive in US dollars terms because the US dollar itself is continuing to go down and down and down. What do I mean by that? Well, a lot of people think that their homes have become more valuable. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. My home used to be $500,000 and now it's $800,000. My house went up in value. I hate to break it to you. Your home didn't go up in value. The dollars became worth less and now it takes more dollars to buy that home. I recently bought some property out in the Austin, Texas area. And I was talking to some other friends that are out there, and one of them bought a house on Lake Travis, which is I'm not on the lake, but on Lake Travis out there of Austin. And he bought his house a year ago for $10 million and just sold it 1 year later for $22 million. Insane! Bought it for $10 million and sold it for $22 million. But guess what? The house didn't go up in value. The dollars lost value. It takes more dollars to buy those things. And so as the dollar continues to lose purchasing power, those dollars purchase less homes today than they did before. People look for ways to increase their purchasing power. And so as the dollar is going down and Bitcoin is going up in value, Bitcoin continues to look more and more attractive. That's why we'll continue to see the network grow. Now, as I said, as those dollars are losing value, for a number of reasons, but primarily because the government, the central banks cannot stop printing them. They cannot stop creating money. They are printing, they are creating money like it is going out of style, like we've never seen any time in all of history. As a matter of fact, somewhere between 30 to 40% of all the dollars in existence today were created in the last year and a half. Wow. That is amazing. I mean, we've just never seen growth like that. We've seen about 25% inflation per year. What that means is that prices, they created about, the money supply increased about 25% in a year. And then we see prices go up by about 25% in a year. Now, some places like Lake Travis go up 100%. Some places go up less than 25%. But on average, that's what we've seen. But they want to spend even more money. They can't get enough. As a matter of fact, last week, the world leaders all met in Glasgow at this climate summit. And they made a bunch of big proclamations, a bunch of big moves, and they basically came back saying that in order to save the world, we have to destroy it. They didn't actually say that, but they said in order to save the world, we have to act quick and we have to do all this spending to save the environment, to go green. We want to go net zero is actually the quote that they said. And they came back and they put this report together of all these things that we have to do in order to get to net zero per this COP26 is what they met on. And so in order to achieve the transition to clean technologies in all sectors at an unprecedented pace would be required, they said, that they're going to have to steer the governments and willingness of society. That's the key word. We have to steer governments and the willingness of society because society ain't going to want to go along with this. And guess what? It's going to cost a lot of money. It's going to cost a lot of money. As a matter of fact, it's going to cost more money than we've ever seen in the history of the world. I don't know where they're going to get it from. But they're going to somehow get it. I'm guessing they're going to print it. The money printers are going to be printing all night long, worrying like machines. And so Bank of America basically went through all of the proposals that were put together to get to net zero. And Bank of America came out with a report and said that they said the key question is how much will it cost? Question mark. Well, Bank of America writes that $150 trillion will need to be spent over the next 30 years, which is $5 trillion per year. Now, I know we go numb to numbers, so maybe that doesn't mean a lot to you. But let me just, man, it's such a big number. How do we put that into perspective? Basically, it's twice the current global GDP, twice. Two times. So typically you would, normally people like you and me, our businesses, our households, we would spend less money than we bring in. The government should also spend less money than they bring in. That's the GDP. But no, they want to spend twice the current global GDP, $5 trillion in annual investments, $150 trillion. Now to put this into even more perspective, the entire debt of the United States over the last, 200 years is now up to a nosebleed height of about $28 trillion, which, as I said, about 40% of that was created in the last year and a half. $28 trillion. They want to spend $30 trillion. It's just insane. But what's going to happen? Well, they're going to print more dollars. The value of those dollars will continue to go down and down and down. They'll be buying less. Gasoline will be $25 a gallon. Oil will be $300 a gallon. You probably won't be able to travel by air anymore because it'll be so expensive. And that is only going to make Bitcoin look more and more attractive because, of course, they can't add to the supply of Bitcoin. It's fixed. They can't do that. So we're going to have one asset that they're printing so fast, they're manipulating so fast that it's going down in value. And then we have another asset that can't be manipulated and that will be going up in value. And when people start to see that contrast, of course, they're going to be jumping over into the new asset. Now, that's what Bank of America said, $150 trillion. But some estimates say even more. As a matter of fact, the BNEF has a higher estimate. They say the total investment needed for energy supply and infrastructure could be as high as $173 trillion, almost $6 trillion annually. But there's something that will happen before we get to that level. There's a trigger that was predicted by one of my favorite economists that I want to talk about when we come back. Something that when this trigger happens, it's like a floodgate is going to happen. So I'm going to tell you about that when I get back. By the way, you're listening to the Mark Maugh Show. We're talking about Bitcoin. We're talking about cryptocurrencies. We're talking about this decentralized revolution. We're talking about potentially the end of currency as we know it. Don't go away. We're going to come back and talk about the trigger point. I'll be right back. All right. Welcome back. You are listening to the Mark Maugh Show, and we're talking about Bitcoin. We're talking about cryptocurrencies. We're talking about the decentralized revolution. I want to tell you that we're talking about Bitcoin because you should join me each and every week because we're literally sitting on the biggest shift to humanity that we've ever seen. It's a technological revolution. I know a lot of people are trying to figure out like what's going on with the technology and what are these NFT things and can I make a JPEG that I can buy on the blockchain? But it's way bigger than that. We have way bigger problems than that. And this is going to be way more monumental than that. So we're not talking about Pokemon cards on blockchains. I'm sorry. We are talking about the problem in the world that's happening right now that is going to create a massive problem for most people, but also potentially the biggest opportunity of your life if you're paying attention. Now, before the break, I was talking about how as the dollar value is going down, meaning the purchasing power, meaning it purchases less and less and less because they're printing more and more and more, that is going to make more and more people want to go to Bitcoin, right? So they're manipulating the money supply, printing more money. I talked about how under the new climate change that they did at the COP26 last week, they want to spend about $150 trillion to somehow, reduced greenhouse gases or something like that. And so that is only going to continue to make the dollar worth less or worthless. And more people will be jumping ship out of that sinking boat and moving into something that can't be manipulated. Now, there's a process that was highlighted by one of my favorite economists. His name is Ludwig von Mises. And he illustrated, or he actually kind of laid this out for us in something that he calls a crack up boom. All right, a crack up boom. And a crack up boom is an economic crisis that involves a recession in the real economy and a collapse of the monetary system due to continual credit expansion, resulting in unsustainable rapid price increases. All right, so think about that. It's an economic crisis, so the economy, that involves a recession, right? Sound familiar? And then the monetary system do a continual credit expansion. So the economy is failing. In Southern California, we have, you know, all these ships off the port. We used to have none off the coast, and now they're stretching from Long Beach all the way to San Diego. You guys probably don't know how far that is, but it's like hundreds of miles. I think there was 110 ships at some point sitting off the coast. The economy is falling apart while the monetary system has this continual credit expansion. So the Biden administration, the Brandon administration, is continuing to try to push more money through. $1.9 trillion for this, another $3.5 trillion for this. And now, as I said, they want to come up with $150 trillion. And so where do they get that? Through credit expansion. So at the same time, right? So the economy's falling apart, the credit expansion is happening. So it's really those two key features, right? Excessively expansionary monetary policy, in addition to the normal consequences, and two, which leads to hyperinflation. So that's kind of what the setup is. I want to read you a couple of things here. Now, there might be a lot of economists listening to this. There might be a lot of people who majored in economics in college, and you might not be familiar with what's known as Austrian economics or the Austrian school of economics. And that's because it's purposely not taught to you. And the reason why it's purposely not taught to you is because it doesn't make printing money unlimited seem like a good idea. And so they don't want anybody to think that. So in the Austrian business cycle theory, in the normal course of an economic boom would be driven by an expansion of money and credit, the structure of the economy becomes distorted in ways that eventually result in shortages of various commodities and types of labor. All right, I'm reading that word for word. So in the normal course of an economic boom driven by expansion of money, again, right, expanding the money supply. So for those of you guys who don't know, in 1971, we broke the gold standard and we've been expanding the money supply. The gold standard kept the US dollar supply fixed, tied to gold. And since then, it's been expanding. So it's an expansion of money. So an economic boom driven by the expansion of money and credit, which is what we've had, right? It says the structure of the economy becomes distorted in ways that eventually result in shortages of various commodities and types of labor. So the economy becomes distorted because money is what communicates value. The price is the signal that helps coordinate things. So how do I know if I should make more of one thing and less of another? Well, the price. If nobody will buy anything for it, then I should probably stop making it. If a lot of people pay a lot of money for it, I should probably make more. The price is what coordinates 8 billion people around the world. But when that becomes distorted, as it says, because of the fake money that was poured in, it results in shortages of various commodities and types of labor. That sound like what we have going on right now? Supply chains are backed up. Why? Because they don't have the parts they need. Why? Because they can't get the supplies. Why? Because they can't get the commodities. Why? We have shortages of labor. That sound familiar? Now, everybody thinks this is transitory. We don't understand why. Joe Biden promises he's going to get to the bottom of this. He's going to file, he's going to look at the SEC and have them start looking into businesses to figure out if they're doing some unfair things. No. It's the expansion of money and credit. It was predicted 100 years ago, okay? So then, which then lead to increasing consumer price inflation. So it results in shortage of various commodities and types of labor, which then lead to increasing consumer price inflation. Sound familiar? Then, I'm going to read again, the rising prices and limited availability of necessary inputs and labor put pressure on businesses and cause a rash of failures of various investment projects and business bankruptcies. This is known as the real resource crunch, which triggers the turning point in the economy from boom to bust. All this, we knew this was going to happen. This is what happens when you have a monetary expansion. This is why they don't teach Austrian economics in colleges. They don't want you to know this. One of my other favorite economists, Friedrich Hayek, he's also from the Austrian school. Now, he actually won a Nobel Prize in economics in the 70s. So they did recognize it back then. That was, of course, when we were still on the gold standard. And he famously described this situation as like grabbing, quote, grabbing a tiger by the tail. Once the central bank decides to accelerate the process of credit expansion and inflation in order to head off any recession risk, then it continually faces the same choice of either accelerating the process further or facing an even greater risk of recession as distortions build in the real economy. So again, they warned us 50 years ago that this was happening. Once it starts, you can't stop. You either, one, have to continue go, which continues to make the problem worse, or you stop, which puts the whole system at risk and crashes everything. And so you want to know why supply chains aren't working. You want to know why things aren't working. You understand. I was trying to fly home from Miami on Monday to back to my house in Puerto Rico, and my flight was delayed, and it was delayed again. And then there was a problem with the plane, and then they had to get us another plane, and then the crew timed out and had to go home. Like, this stuff happens all the time. Now, this didn't used to happen. The world used to work. Boats used to get unloaded. Planes used to fly. All these problems are a symptom of what's going on. Now, this is putting putting stress, it's putting pressure on the dollar. They're creating more and more dollars to try to, that's their only option, but it makes them worth less, which then makes Bitcoin more attractive. It's the safety valve. Now, there's a point, there's a trigger where something happens. And I want to explain to you what that is, because you don't have time. Once this trigger happens, you don't have time to make a move afterwards. You have to make a move before the trigger happens. Of course, you have to buy insurance on your house before the fire burns it down, not after. And so I want to tell you about this trigger that's potentially coming, because like I said, if you wait until you see it, it's going to be too late. And so I want to show you right now how we can see it's already about to trigger. We'll talk about that. Of course, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about Bitcoin. We're talking about cryptocurrencies. We're talking about the decentralized revolution. We're talking about why Bitcoin, why Bitcoin is about to explode, and why you might want to consider getting a little bit. Listen to Mark Moss. I'll be right back. All right, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Moss Show, and we're talking about Bitcoin. We're talking about cryptocurrencies. We're talking about the decentralized revolution. We're talking about economics. We're talking about the economy. We're talking about warnings that were given to us a long time ago by Ludwig von Mises and Friedrich Hayek from the Austrian School of Economics. The reason why we're talking about those things is because that is why Bitcoin is here today. That is why Bitcoin will be here in the future. And that is why you probably want to go buy some, if not a bunch of Bitcoin right now. Everybody, you know, I've been doing this for about 7 years now, and it never fails. You know, last week when Bitcoin pumped up to its high, you know, shot up to about $69,000, I'm getting text messages from people I haven't talked to in 5 years. Should I buy it? Should I buy it? Is it too late? What do you think? Right? All these things. They're failing to take the time to understand why. Why would I buy it? Why would I think it would go up in the future? Why? And if I understand why I think it would go up, then where will it go? How high will it go? Well, you have to understand why. And so that's what we're talking about. We're talking about economics. And I know it's not the most fun or most sexy subject or topic. I'm trying to make it some entertaining for you. And we were talking about what Ludwig von Mises called the crack up boom. And he basically told us that, when you expand the money supply, when you have an economic boom driven by an expansion of money and credit, then you get, the economy becomes distorted and you have shortages and you have, you know, commodity shortages, labor shortages, it leads to consumer price inflation. Now, the leaders of this country today can't seem to figure out what's going on with inflation, but that's it. It's right there in front of us. Now, what's important to understand is that Ludwig von Mises talks about in this crack up boom, he says that with each subsequent round of credit expansion and prices increase, then people can no longer afford these high prices. So then central banks have to expand even more to accommodate more prices. And basically what happens is the central bank has to continue to be involved. They have to continue to stimulate the economy, which is exactly what they're doing. So Biden says, hey, let's go and we're going to go fix the problem with the ships that can't get unloaded in Long Beach, or let's go fix the problem with high gas prices, or let's go fix the climate or whatever it is. But each time they do, it only makes the system worse and worse and worse. Now, the point that we get to at some point is this actual crack up boom. And basically what happens is that once the public realizes what's going on, which of course is why they're not telling you, once the public realizes what's going on, once the public realizes that the quantity of money will just continually expand, once the public realizes that inflation is not a problem, it's actually the goal. Like this price inflation, the price is getting more and more expensive every day on you, every year on you. Like gasoline getting more expensive, your house is getting more expensive, your food getting more expensive. That's not a symptom they're trying to solve. That's their goal. The stated goal of the central bank is 2% inflation. That's their goal. They want prices to be getting more expensive on you. They want your dollars to buy less and less goods in the future. That's their goal. This is not a conspiracy. Look it up. That's their goal. That means that you're losing 10% of your purchasing power every 5 years. That's what that means. And it's what Mises says is that once people realize that this money expansion is going, it can never stop and it's going to continue. Once they realize that inflation is actually the goal, then it stops. It cracks apart. Boom. Just like that. Why? Why does it do that? It's because something known as trust. Now, if any of you guys have ever been in a relationship, any type of relationship, a business relationship, a marriage, a boyfriend, girlfriend, any kind of relationship, you know about trust. Trust is something that's very fragile. As a matter of fact, growing up, my dad continually told me over and over and over and over and over again that it takes a lifetime to build up trust. And it takes one instance to ruin it. A lifetime to build up trust and one instance to ruin it. That's how quickly it falls apart. Now, a lot of people think that the dollar, the United States dollar, is backed by, some people still think it's backed by gold. Some people think it's backed by the credit of the government, which whatever that means, because the credit of government is dollars. Some people think it's backed by the military. It's backed by the guns, right? It's backed by the military. Well, none of those things are right. None of those things are anywhere close to correct. A military doesn't keep the dollar worth something. Countries that currencies fail all the time have militaries, and their currency still fails. The dollar is backed by trust, right? You have to trust that somebody else will take it from you in the future. Otherwise, you wouldn't hold it. Now, in Venezuela, where the currency blows up, people don't want to hold the currency. They don't trust it. As a matter of fact, you can find it lined up in the streets and people are scrambling to get into any other asset they can not hold that currency. So they're trying to buy Bitcoin. They're trying to buy whatever they can buy, gold, food, whatever, anything they can buy rather than holding that money. And so it's backed by trust. And as I said, right, trust is very fragile. And once it's broken, it doesn't come back very easily. And so trust is what's holding the dollar. Now, you may not know this, but the banking system in the United States, the Federal Reserve and the banking system runs on something called fractional reserve banking. And that means that when you deposit your money in the bank, your money doesn't sit there in the bank for you. As a matter of fact, the bank loans it back out. And for every $1 you put in, they can loan out about $9. And then they loan out those $9 to guys that buy more things. They buy a car, they bought a house, whatever. And that money goes in the bank. And then the bank makes more money off that. And that money goes in the bank and they make more money off that, and on and on and on. So the bank doesn't have your money. If people have stopped trusting the banks and said, I'm going to go get my money back, there's no money there. As a matter of fact, if about 1% of the people in the country gave up trust of the bank and said, I don't trust you, I want my money, I'll take the cash, 1% of the people going to the bank to pull their money out would cause an entire collapse of the system. That's how fragile trust is. Now, a new global survey came out just late this week, and it said 41% of people globally say they trust Bitcoin over local currencies. That's trust. People don't trust their currency. People don't trust their governments. And of course, there's no reason why they should. They're lied to at every moment. And not only are they lied to, they're constantly censored and quieted. They're constantly misled, right? So why could they? The leaders are always wrong. They're telling us that they don't know why inflation is here, but it's right in front of our faces. We've known it all along. And so why should they trust us? And the thing about trust is, again, back to a relationship with a business partner or a girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, you know, you may suspect that business partner of doing something wrong, and that trust is failing and it's failing and it's failing, and you're starting to gather more info and more info, and it's failing. And finally, it's broken. So you find that piece of info, finally something happens, and that trust is gone. It's never coming back. And that's where we're headed. That's the moment. That's the crack up boom. We're already at 41% of people say they trust Bitcoin more than their local currency. And those people, they're continuing to build more information. That's why you see these athletes saying they want to get paid in Bitcoin. That's why you see publicly traded companies saying they want to hold Bitcoin. That's why you're seeing governments now, like El Salvador, saying they don't want to hold dollars. They want to hold Bitcoin. And that's why the dollar is continuing to lose value. People don't trust it. They don't want to hold it. And you know, trust is fragile. It's about to be broken. And when it's broken, at that moment, no one's going to hold it and everyone's going to go buy Bitcoin. The only question is, are you going to be in position before that happens, or will you be one of those people trying to get in after the music stops? We like to say that everybody will buy at the price they deserve. But you have a chance to get in early. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about Bitcoin. We're talking about cryptocurrencies. We're talking about the decentralized revolution. I'm trying to give you the head start. Grab your chair before the music stops, because the crack up boom is coming.